Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:40 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is August 14th. Well, the Turkish lira today steadied somewhat, and certainly not in the same kind of dynamic manner that it had pulled back on Friday, but there was certainly a climactic feel to that very panicky move that we saw on Friday. But at the same time, we don't have any clear idea just yet about what exactly they're going to do to really get them out of the trouble that they have got right now with such an enormous amount of external debt. So when we look at the medium-term trend, certainly the trend has accelerated. There is absolutely no question of that. And an acceleration is a trend ending, but of undetermined duration. So the most likely scenario is that we're going to have some steadying subject to what we can expect from the Erdogan administration. But he has been expressing dictatorial characteristics now for years. And if he is closer to Hugo Chavez, then people are, I think, pricing in. Well, then the potential is that we're going to see considerably higher government bond yields. If we look at, for example, the 10-year yield, which is US dollar denominated for Turkey, then it is currently at about 8.7%. So that is not all that high, considering the risk attached to the currency. So what that suggests to me, at least, is that there is still room for further yield expansion here, and that could put downward pressure on the currency, although perhaps not right away. Therefore, when I think the immediate question that most people are asking is whether this is a buying opportunity for Turkey, I hesitate to reach that conclusion for the simple fact that that we still don't have any kind of conclusion as to exactly what they're going to do. And that just remains a very big open sore in terms of the questions that are being asked. But the much bigger point is that governance is everything, and the standards of governance have been deteriorating in Turkey for a long time. And this is simply a climax in terms of the negative perceptions of potential there. When we think about the fact that you have a dictatorial government, then it is really when that is removed, or when it embraces reform, is when Turkey is going to become a very clear, or I think develop a buy signal, but we're just not there yet. And Bitcoin was also interesting in here today. It was down $200 and flirting with the 6,000 level again. Well, this is the fourth time we've seen the price come back to this level, and on each previous occasion it has bounced. But I think we can see very clearly on the daily chart here that each one of those bounces has been less impressive. And when we think about what it is that is acting as a headwind here, well, on the one hand, you have the Mt. Gox liquidation that's still going on. Then you also have the fact that the decision on whether to allow an ETF has been delayed. But the very fact that the market is waiting for an ETF to get launched, which would allow holders to unwind. But the problem with the conclusion that they're waiting for an ETF is rather problematic, because if the CFTC has designated that these are not securities, well, it's difficult to put something that's not a security into an ETF. If you get an ETF, then they're securities. And if they're securities, well, then they can be regulated. And if they're regulated, well, there are some very big questions about the pump and dump strategies that a lot of crypto investors have had. And also the fact that pump and dump is tantamount to wire fraud when you're doing it online. So these are awfully big questions for the Bitcoin price. And quite apart from that, Bitmain, which is both one of the biggest miners and the biggest producer of the chips for the ASIC machines, is looking at an IPO valuing itself at $40 billion. Well, if the biggest producer of Bitcoin is looking to cash in, that's not a particularly great sign either. So this is, I think, a rather taut environment for the cryptocurrency market. Then when we look at what else has been going on in the currency markets, well, the euro was in additional negative territory in here today. When we look at this on a weekly basis, it had been ranging below the trend mean, in which really did look like a distribution. Now it has extended the decline, and there is still a considerable amount of risk that Europe is exposed to by the potential for a Turkish default. And whether you want to describe that as currency controls or a default is very much open to interpretation, but there's no doubting that a lot of people in Europe have been investing in Turkey over the course of the last few years, and they're coming away with burnt fingers. But the euro does look like it is now extending its downtrend. And that is despite the fact that German industrial production was somewhat more positive in here today, but that did not stop the share the stock market from declining. Well, when we look at this developing range that we have on the DAX, I don't think that we could be forgiven, I think, for thinking that this looks like a head and shoulders. And we did have the massive reaction against the prevailing trend at the beginning of this year, and we've had this ranging environment subsequently, which has failed to push back up into the overhead trading range. Well, a break of the neckline around 12,000 would constitute a completed top formation. So that's what the risk is. And when we think about the fact that Germany has been among the very best performing of the European stock markets, going from 4th to 12,000 over the course of the last decade, is no mean feat against a background where the European economy has been pretty moribund. And that the fact is that if Germany is potentially putting in a top formation, well, that's not particularly good news for the rest of Europe. Well, when we look at, for example, the other end of the spectrum and Italy, well, the FTSE MIB has continued to hold the breakdown from its range. And this pattern does not look all that different from what we see with the euro, where you have a distribution below the trend mean, and the trend mean has turned downwards. So this is not bullish action. And most particularly when you look at this longer term chart over the course of the last decade, well, 25,000 has been a big psychological level that the index has failed to get back above. So that's certainly something that I think we need to pay attention to. Then when we look at what else is going on in Asia, well, the Nikkei today bounced pretty emphatically, and having been down in a dynamic manner yesterday, it was up almost 500 points. So that is helping to, I think, reinstill confidence that support can be found in the region of the trend mean. Fortunately, I was stopped out of my long position, and I'm weighing the decision as to whether to get right back in. Then you have the second section index, which has bounced in a less emphatic fashion from above the 7,000 level. But again, this also is right in the region of the trend mean. It's a natural area where we might anticipate that support could be found. And the yen today was pulling back from the 110 area, so the dollar's progression of higher reaction lows remains intact. And when we look at what's going on in China, this is a rather taut environment, and the SHIBOR rate continues to contract. So they are easing up on the pressure that's come to bear on the financial sector. And the A-share index is continuing to struggle to find a low in here, but at least it has stopped going down. When we look at the H-share index, then it has at least stabilized above the low that we saw in July. But so far, there has been a distinct absence of really bullish action in here. And when we look at this on a weekly basis, we can see that there has been some substantial loss of uptrend consistency. And this doesn't look like anything other than just a pause. So yes, there is the potential for a mean reversion rally in here, and it's unwound about half of the overextension by now. But it's going to have to do considerably more than that to really ram home the point that this is more than a short-term low. And the fact that the renminbi continues to decline, and, well, I think it is, considering the fact that it has gone from 6.25 to about 6.9 over the course of the last 10 weeks. That's not far off talking about free fall when we think about the speed with which it is declining and the fact that it hasn't really slowed down. The Chinese want a weaker currency. They view that as their biggest weapon in terms of a trade war, and they are certainly allowing it to float lower. And that is acting as something of a headwind for foreign investment. Well, one of the interesting points here is that the copper price was down in a rather dynamic manner in here today, and it closed at a new low. And this is now back testing the lower side of this range. But again, the most important point is that it had this massive reaction against the prevailing trend. We have had a little distribution. The moving average has turned down. This looks like a bearish chart. And I think the path of least resistance is for further downside. And that's not great news when we think about that people consider that copper is Dr. Copper, that it is reflective of the economy. Well, it's not really reflective of the global economy because China consumes most of it. So, but we might conclude it is reflective of the Chinese economy. That is certainly a potential conclusion. And that is perhaps something that a lot of people will, or at least that would be the conclusion that people will be jumping to, and it could therefore become a self-fulfilling prophecy. The Baltic Dry Index has held an upward bias over much of the last 2.5 years, and it is right at the upper side of this evolving 7-year base formation. It does need to sustain a move above 2,000 to really confirm that it's back in a demand-dominated environment. Now, when we look at some of the currencies that had been breaking lower yesterday, well, the Indian rupee had moved to a new low in early trading, but had steadied up somewhat by the close, but certainly no countermanding upward dynamic in favor of it. Then the Indonesian rupiah, which has been pushing back up towards, or where the dollar has been pushing back up towards its peak from 2015, didn't pull back in any measurable manner in here today. Then, when we look at what's going on in the Latin American region, it's Colombia which has got some fairly substantial external debts, and now the currency it has fallen back below the 3,000 level. There is a clear progression of lower rally highs in the chart since the dollar's peak in 2016, but the dynamics are, if we give the benefit of the doubt to the most recent dynamic, then it does look like the dollar is going to strengthen from here. Well, with such still concerted dollar strength, gold remains weak, and following the extension of its very consistent downtrend yesterday, it was mildly steadier in here today, but certainly not in a dynamic manner, certainly no clear upward dynamic to question the downtrend. And as long as the progression of lower rally highs remains intact, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the downside. There is an important point that someone sent me an email today showing me this chart, and it was the fact that Turkey has been importing a great deal of gold. Well, therefore, when we think about the fact that they're in such trouble, well, it could be Turkey is selling some of their gold to try and plug some of the problems that they have in their balance sheet. I think it would be rather, I would be hesitant to conclude they have enough of gold to plug all of the holes they have in their balance sheet, but that could be part of the reason why we have this downward pressure on gold right now. Then, when we look at the oil price, well, Brent crude was somewhat steadier in here yesterday, and then it wasn't able to hold its advance in here today. It continues to remain in a process of mean reversion, and it is still holding the region of the trend mean in the upper side of the underlying range. It would really need to be sustaining a move below the trend mean to really question that this isn't still a demand-dominated environment. Now, when we think about technology, I think it is interesting to contrast what's going on with some of last year's high-flying shares like Tencent, which has now experienced a fairly substantial break back below the trend mean and is leading the Hang Seng lower. And Netflix, which the question I was asking myself earlier on is, do I know anybody that doesn't have it? And I think the reality is that most people who want Netflix have already got it, and that the cost of acquiring new customers is going to be considerably more pricey as we go forward, and I think that is now beginning to be priced into the share. But when we think about Amazon, when they acquire a new customer, then they have lots of different ways of boosting revenue from that customer, and that is helping to push the market higher. It's probably going to be the second company to reach a market cap of a trillion. And when we look at Google, well, that could potentially be the third, and it has continued to hold this move above the 1200 level. And as long as it is doing that, well, I think we can conclude that it is repairing the consistency of the trend. Well, against that background, the Nasdaq was in positive territory in here today, and so far this little pause in the region of the peak from July has been very mild indeed, and the most likely scenario is that we're going to see some additional upside. The Dow Jones has been lagging, but it is holding the 25,000 level, and it was up 100 points in here today. And that had been the index that had accelerated most in December and January. So the fact that it has held the progression of higher reaction lows and it is sustaining the move above the psychological 25,000 is quite positive. Well, when we look at the Russell 2000 and the small caps generally, they've been pausing below about 17,000 for over 2 months now. But this was a pretty impressive day in here today, and the upward bias remains intact. I think we'd have to give the benefit of the doubt to the potential for an upward break. And if that's the case, then the potential here is that the medium-term correction that began in January is likely ending, and that it is a matter of time before we see the S&P 500 and the Dow Jones breaking higher as they follow the Russell and the Nasdaq. The strength of the dollar is certainly helping stoke some investor interest in US denominated assets, and that's also figuring in the calculation for treasuries. Well, treasury yields remain locked here below 3%, and the strife that we're seeing in the emerging markets, and most particularly those that have got a lot of external debt, and which is often a reflection of deteriorating standards of governance, because nobody would want to buy in to borrow in another currency if they could possibly help it. Well, that's acting as a bit of a tailwind for purchases or for sales of US treasuries. And really, a sustained move above this 3% level is going to be required to confirm that supply is dominant. I think that that will eventually occur, because the US Treasury is printing an awful lot of debt, and it has an awful lot of it coming up to be refinanced, but it isn't an issue at the current period in time. So I think the big question that a lot of people are asking is the extent to which there's likely to be contagion from Turkey into the wider emerging markets. Well, we're seeing that emerging market currencies are coming under pressure, so that is evidence of people starting to take some money out. There's no question of that. But if Turkey introduces currency controls, that's going to be an issue, and that could be a real challenge. I think that is where people would get panicky, and we might see much quicker outflows. So it is certainly an issue to keep very much in mind and to pay particular attention to. And the fact is that I think that China, the risk that we have there is underappreciated, considering the speed with which its currency is coming down. It has been among the weakest currencies in the world this year, and that's not a mistake. So I think with that, I will leave it for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.